I'm expecting you to go blow your fucking brains out. How about that? April Fool's, bitch! Sorry, that was probably a bit much.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield, like a shame for this place!
A pay-per-view of my house in your house.
In your house.
Hey guys, guess what?
What?
We're making a podcast.
Oh no, again?
Jesus,
you know what to say?
We're like a podcast factory.
Let's pull the curtains back. This is the second time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's,
what happened?
He's tricked us twice.
Podcastery. Yeah.
The Yeti.
The Yeti.
The Yeti.
You got that inner style face, Hoss.
Style face. You have that inner style face.
We're at the House of Pain off of Rocky Road.
It's just snorted.
It's still funny to me. Yeah. All right, hey guys, what's going on? It's April 2nd. It's the day after Liar's Day.
Liar's Day.
The day after Dirty Asshole Day.
Nonsense. Garbage piece of shit day.
Yeah, like that.
If you celebrate that garbage, then to hell with you.
If you were one of the
that's my
asshole fucktards who sent a picture of themselves on Facebook with like a broken ankle saying, I'm going to the hospital, and you have all these people who are truly sympathetic toward you. Oh, I hope you're feeling better. Oh my god, if you need anything, please help me. You're like, April Fools, you fucks. It's like, you're a horrible person.
That's actually a really bad April Fools joke.
It's a really bad one. It's
it happened like four times.
Yeah, really?
On my Facebook feed.
Those are just... Those
people are like,
bad.
Headed to the ER and nothing left.
Well,
and then hours later,
they're
like...
A coworker said a bunch of his students like submitted him to Survivor and he got a call from the studio or something like that saying he was going to be on it.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, well, that's actually a halfway believable one. But I was like, nope, I know today is, pal.
I've been on Facebook for right around a decade now.
Right.
Yeah.
I would consider myself fairly active on Facebook for whatever reason.
I would say very active.
I write a lot of really dumb shit on Facebook.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice, April Fools. It's a ton
of
dumb shit.
Because you write it once a year, then you write it again on Video Destruct.
That's true. But, you know, for me, like, I'm really tired of seeing the same April Fools joke every single year. Like, if you've got some friend on your Facebook who's, you know, married, it's like, hey, guess what, everybody? We're expecting.
I've never heard that one for
you. I'm expecting you to go blow your fucking brains out. How about that? April Fool's, bitch! Sorry, that was probably a bit much.
No, I agree. I hate it. The only kind of April Fool's joke that I accept from somebody is the ones that are obvious and stupid, and it's like, durr. That's it. The only thing. And it's like, none of this, like, trying to actually get you crap. Can we just end it as a society? It's over, right? Like, who cares? I think social media is going to kill April Fools at some day.
No. The internet killed it long before social media.
Yeah.
The internet in itself, when it's like, well, I'm just not going... All right, let me just go back to the beginning here. There are already sites on the internet that are designed around lying to you.
Yes.
At a certain fucking point.
Yeah. The onion.
Is it the one where I'm a sexy single and there are other sexy singles in my area?
Like, what does the onion do?
Wait,
on
are you
April
trying to tell
Fools?
Me I'm not a sexy single?
It gives you real news headlines?
Yeah, right.
You're single.
Right?
You're single, that's a thing.
Fuck somebody in 5 minutes. All right, I've probably been to way too many adult websites.
There you go.
But, yeah, like, it's just, there's already tons of sites on the internet that are just devoted to being complete lying assholes.
Yes.
Just stop it, everyone.
Yeah.
Just,
It's over.
Well, and then, like, you know, the video games industry, like, there was a time when the April Fool's joke were really funny. Because of how many people they genuinely fooled, and how long, because the internet wasn't that proliferated yet, how long some of these things would go on. Here's my favorite one. for when Twilight Princess was announced. Does anybody remember the EGM joke?
No. No.
The EGM joke of they were going to re-release Wind Waker with realistic textures.
Oh, wow.
That legend lived on for years.
Wow.
Really?
And everyone, because that was around the time when everybody hated the look of Wind Waker. Oh, it's kitty. I want mature Link, son.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because you got that Twilight Princess and it sucked.
I thought, and it was a link that you posted to Todd, I thought Goat Simulator was going to be an April Fool's joke.
No, that's a real game.
That's a real game.
And I'm so happy it is because that game is awesome.
It's great. I've played it. I actually have a game to talk about that I played.
Goat Simulator is great.
It's fantastic.
Right. I love that trailer because they recreated the original Dead Island trailer with the girl falling back into the window.
Right, yeah, yeah.
With the goat.
With the goat.
Brilliant. Genius. But yeah, it's first topic, start of the show as usual. We got Gus on the show today.
I think you just want me here because of the microphone.
That's true. It's a pretty sweet mic.
You have a pretty sweet
mic. I probably should have introduced you before this, but yeah, we got the typical cast. We got Eric back this week.
Woo!
Brandon's on the show as usual. We've also got Gus. Gus, what have you been playing with?
Well, I've been working as usual. Surprise, surprise. But I haven't had a whole lot of time to play a lot of things, but I want to talk about for a few minutes something that I usually don't care about, and that's mobile gaming. And the reason I bring that up is because a friend of mine...
I've been pushing you lately to try to do something with mobile gaming, so you finally did something.
No, I did something. Nothing really spectacular, but a friend of mine alerted me to that the new Crazy Taxi game coming out later this year, Crazy Taxi City Rush, coming out on iOS and Android. I'm like, okay, big deal. But as a promotion, they were offering the original Crazy Taxi for free.
Oh, nice.
Free! Nice. So I said, okay, I'll bite. Yeah. I'll check this out.
Yeah.
But, if there's no Bad Religion or Offspring on it, no deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
agreed!
Because that soundtrack was 60% of that game.
Yeah, I actually was going to ask, does the new one have Offspring on it?
Getting there.
If you're playing Crazy Taxi and you don't hear,
yeah,
this is not right.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's one of the reasons I passed up the Xbox Live Arcade release a year or two back.
There's a couple reasons you should have done that, but that's one.
Yeah, that was the big one. But
I want my fucking $10 back.
So I went and downloaded it to my Galaxy S3.
Right.
And I said, okay, pulled it up. And it's like, hey, Crazy Taxi. And I'm like, okay, this is menus come up. And the first thing I noticed on the menus was Arcade, Original, Crazy Box, and like, Original. That's the Dreamcast version. Yes. That was the Dreamcast original map. I'm like, okay, let's start this thing up.
It's a better map.
It's a tougher map, too.
But it's better.
Is it better because it's tougher, or is it just both?
Yeah.
It's better.
So I pull up, pick a car and driver, and I almost, like half the time I'll pick Gus, because... That gets everybody in my
head.
There you go. You?
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Is there a joke there?
Yeah, as soon as it queued up, first thing that played was 10 and 2010 with Bad Religion. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me!
Yeah!
Yes!
They
went through all four of the songs.
Nice.
And I'm like, this is awesome! So I got something to play when I'm not at home now. So yeah, I've been hammering the shit out of Crazy Taxi.
I'm downloading that right now.
It is $4.99 right now.
Nice.
Fucking bullshit.
I just found up. I'm like, really? I thought it was free.
Well, it was. For
Gus,
time.
You lying fuck.
No, I actually did get it for free. Yeah, it was for limited time. It's $4.99 now, but it's worth better $4.99 than it was the $10 for the Xbox version. But
right.
But it's totally worth it. Being on a touchpad control thing, it's not quite as precise as far as controls go, but it's still.
Right.
It's still very much playable.
There you go.
Grand Theft Auto was rough on that thing.
Was it really?
Woof.
But you can also switch it over to tilt controls, which I tried to get the hang of.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. No.
I got a present for you.
What's that?
Walk over to that shelf, second row down, sitting on top of those game cases. It's yours to have.
The knife? The knife?
Second row down, on top of the game cases. Yep. On top of the game cases.
On top of the game cases.
Tag, it's a MOGA.
MOGA. Oh, is this
it's an Android game controller.
I was just wondering about these things.
Yeah. Cool. You're not going to give him the
immortal. And he just broke it.
And
he just broke it.
You're not going to give him the immortal warrior?
That price?
At this price?
At this price?
Nice. You're welcome. There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Sweet.
Cool. After he just broke it.
Is that good? No, this is battery cover.
Yeah, I think there's a code better in there for Sonic CD as well. So
Sonic CD. No,
Sonic.
Sand. Well, maybe now I got something.
So Haas is a giver of gifts.
Yeah.
What'd you get me?
That's an early birthday present.
I fucking hate cell phone games, so I wouldn't give it to anybody. If anybody else would have ever expressed interest in it, I would have fucking gave it to
I wouldn't have cared.
So what are you giving me?
Right on.
I have nothing left.
You're giving Brandon a trip to WrestleMania.
I'm not giving Brandon
a shit.
But he wouldn't have went if you didn't.
He did talk me into it. But
I did car salesman into it. Hey, Brandon, we just started a podcast. Why don't we go to WrestleMania?
We'll write it off as an expense.
Oh, yeah.
Spare no expense.
That's kind of like making this podcast to get ourselves an
E3. Yeah. That actually doesn't work anymore, but I still know some back ends.
Oh, really?
That, if we wanted to go next year, we might be able to go.
We should definitely go to MAGFest, though.
You got to be up for like 6 months.
That's the one in Canada, right?
No, that's the one in... I thought it was in Canada. That is the one that is in... Oregon. It's in Baltimore, Oregon. Yes. So, sort of in Canada. But not quite Canada.
That is not Canada.
No, it's not quite.
That is the opposite of what Canada is.
That is,
Oregon?
There's a border.
Right there.
There's a border.
There's a whole other fucking state in there.
I'm just saying. Well, okay.
No.
I'm in Oregon. I can spit to Canada.
It's like saying you're in Ohio. You're practically in Canada. No, Michigan's in the fucking way.
Windsor is south of Detroit.
Oh, whatever. It might be Washington, now that I think about it. I thought it was right on the border of, like...
What are we talking about?
So what are we talking about?
MAGFest.
What are we talking about?
What we're talking about is whatever else Gus is playing.
Gus, what do you play?
Let's see what I did to Crazy Taxi. I installed The Witcher, the original one, the enhanced edition, because I grabbed it from my GOG library, because
I like that game.
The Witcher. The Witcher. I played about...
You ever read any of the books?
No, I have not.
The books are really good.
Oh, really?
The books are really good.
Cool. I am a witchist, and I don't approve of that game, so... There you go.
All these witches are sick. So we call a witch doctor.
Witchist. Like, I don't approve of witches. I'm a witchist, and I don't approve of them. And I don't approve of this glorification of them. So,
wow. You
know. So I'm really off the rails. Yeah. Gus is going off.
I feel responsible for this podcast. I did this.
Yeah. You're in charge.
Gus, what else?
So I played...
What do you think of Witcher?
So I played about 15 minutes of it before it crashed.
Oh, awesome.
And I found out that there's a patch that I need to put in there for the enhanced edition that fixes that crash.
That's $35. That patch is $35.
So I grabbed that. I finished up the last achievement I could in Papers, Please. I have about 15 hours in that
Papers, Please.
I watched one of your live streams.
Did you?
But you were on pause. You're just going to say, hold on, guys. Hold on.
I went on pause for, 30 seconds, and then you probably left in that time frame.
Probably.
Did you ever watch...
Well, he's not doing it.
Did you ever play any of the game that guy made before Papers, Please? It's called The Republic of Times. It was a game for a game jam. It was about 3 years ago, The Republic of Times. Instead of running the gate... checkpoint.
Right.
You're working for a newspaper in a Soviet bloc country.
Okay.
Really good. It's like a 15 to 20 minute game.
Right.
I would recommend everybody go find it and play it for the next time that we podcast, just because it's 10 to 15 minutes, and I think you'll see a lot of that influence. And that guy just has a way of being able to take Commodore 64 style graphics, getting the most out of them and making it look really interesting. Have you had a bomb go off?
Yeah.
That's an odd question.
Papers, Please?
I was going to say, he flies airplanes, so probably not.
I'm like, in my line of work, it's kind of something I don't want to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to comment on that.
Yeah.
Did you have a suicide bomber?
Yeah.
Those are great. The first time that happened, I was like, oh shit, what just happened?
It's terrifying, isn't it?
I don't know anything about this.
It goes off at the corner where the three guys are standing with the guns, and I'm just like, what bullshit is this?
It's
like blowing up my checkbook. I have to go to work early.
I love so many parts of that game. I could seriously talk about Papers, Please. It was
go for it.
My top four favorite games of last year.
I loved it.
I love that there's always, for me, I think it's different every time, but for me it was always a very short man who would show up with less and less paperwork every time.
Yep.
Georgie!
Fucking guy is great!
Georgie!
Yeah, oh god!
Drug dealer!
So you just check people's papers?
Yeah.
You stamp passports, essentially.
You check their papers and make sure they're okay to go into the country. If they're okay to go in the country, you let them in.
That all of their identification matches to make sure that they're from the right city, to make sure
they're
from the right.
Yep.
You're in a TSA. TSA
more information.
Yes. No, the TSA does less than that. Yeah. Much
more,
less.
More information shows up as the game goes on. You have to be like, okay, we're only letting people open with this type of passport, and only from this country, and only if they're originally born from here. So you have to check all that info and get as many people through the thing and check the ones you can.
And is this free? Is this game free?
No, it's
it's cheap.
It's like $10. $10. Whenever there's a Steam sale, it's always like $1.
Yeah, it's like $1 over the Steam sale.
Yeah, but if you pay $10, it's worth everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's super fun.
There's a store.
I've bought worse on Steam, so.
Yeah, you bought DayZ.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I don't like the same games you like.
Rust is a game. Yeah. DayZ is not a game.
Okay. It's got that in your style face.
Rust is the exact same game as DayZ without zombies.
And that's what makes it better.
You just hate zombies.
Your voice just went up like this. I can't believe
it. It goes up a few octaves. It's not even.
That's when you know I'm serious.
Tell him the truth.
That's when you know shit's getting real.
Let's get real, guys.
All right. What else
have
you been playing?
Anything else? I think that pretty much caps off my... Oh, I started... Keyword is started. Uncharted.
Oh, cool.
First one?
The first one. Yeah, I got to the opening cutscene, and then I had to go to work.
You're still next-genless?
I am still next-genless, and I recently decided for the time being, because of budget and stuff like that, because I got student loans outstanding that I have a goal of getting.
You were in college for like 17 years.
Whoa. Yeah, something like that. About eight total to be exact. But I have a goal to get my student loans paid off between this fall and next Christmas. So, and then I want a new car, because the things I've been driving for a while are falling apart. So with all that stuff coming in, I'm trying to like not buy anything next gen coming in, because that's another $500 to $600 down the toilet.
When you graduated from Eastern, did they sing Boys to Men, End of the Road?
Here we go to the end of...
Oh, sorry. You were there forever. He was there before I was there, and he was there after I was there.
Before and after. Yeah, I saw about three generations of students go through that place, and most people I know today that I'm still communicate with were probably in the last third.
Man.
Last half.
That's nuts.
So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Now I get you. See what you made of yourself? You're podcasting with us slums.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the ghetto.
That's what I'm
saying today.
That's why most of the people I know are like at least three years younger than me.
Yeah, yeah. So.
How do you go?
I'm 30. Oh, I'll be 31 at the end of this month.
I'm dirty 30.
27 days.
Are we all dirty 30?
I'm 30.
I still have stuff on my Steam wish list, if anybody's wondering.
I'm a man! Yeah, I'm 40!
We are all 30 up in this room.
Yeah, we're all 30.
I'm excited. I just went to Steam and saw that the Kerbal Space Program is on Steam sale, so I'm about to...
It is! Wait, is it really?
It is.
What? For how much? That's like number one on my wish list.
It is $16.
I own it.
Down from $26.99.
Oh, wow, $10 off.
I love Kerbal Space Program.
I've wanted to play forever. I played the demo, and they're like, you need to buy the game if you actually want to get to the moon. And I'm like, I really want to get to the moon, but the game's like $30.
But here's the fucking secret. You're never getting to the moon.
You haven't gotten to the moon.
You are never going to build a spaceship good enough to get to the moon.
Is this challenge accepted?
Okay, for the audience and myself.
Oh, we need to start live blogging us fucking playing
live stream. Live stream.
Oh, me at your house just like, you're never going to get to the moon.
You're a failure in everything you do.
I just want a static shot of Eric's face and me easing into camera right in his ear going, you're never going to get to the moon. Your dreams are bullshit.
All right, for the benefit of the audience and myself, I've never heard of this game.
The Kerbal
Space Program. You get these
little
little goofy green aliens.
It's very simulator-like.
It's super simulator. You got to build everything with
perfect balance and
right amount of fuel,
stabilizers,
the right weight. I mean, you have to be on point.
Well, and you build multi-thrust systems where the initial ones fall off.
Yeah, I mean, you have to really go in depth. I mean, look online at these.
Go watch
insane things people build. Right. And half the time it just tips over and blows up on the pad.
Blows up on the pad.
The guys who I found most interesting, a friend of mine, is building ones that are like planes.
Mm-hmm.
And building
space planes?
Yeah. Fucking cool. They are actually watching this thing that looks like that's never gonna. Oh, shit's flying.
Oh, yeah, there's one right there.
So, but, nice space plane.
Space plane.
But for the uninitiated, the Kerbal Space Program is developed by a marketing company in Mexico City called Squad. I believe this is their first game. They come up with it, because I don't know a whole lot of background on it, but the guys working on it, it's in alpha right now. It's one of those early entry things on Steam.
Right.
I think it's version. I don't think they're even in point three yet. It's like 0.27 now. I don't remember, but it's been a while since I looked it up.
Right.
But it's very, very detailed. If you love space, if you love physics, if you love stuff down to the very detail.
Right.
Or re-entry, you know, all that good stuff. It's there.
Gotcha.
Now, so it's a lot of fun. It's a huge sandbox that they've got a whole solar system to play with.
Nice.
Good luck getting out there and back. But
yeah, you'll never make it.
There are a couple of
making it to space, Eric.
Now it's the space. You won't even get to past the atmosphere.
I can't even get past the atmosphere. Right?
Yeah, no, I'm never gonna make it to space.
You're not even getting off the landing pad.
You don't have that in your style space.
I'm gonna let that one pass. I usually bust people's ass whenever they make puns, but that was fucking good.
That's all right.
Because that's still funny.
But if you're looking to check it out, there's a couple guys on YouTube that do a lot of Let's Plays for Kerbal Space Program, and they actually contribute to the developers and improving it. Scott Manley is the big name.
Yeah.
The astrophysicist Scotsman.
Oh wow!
He's big into Kerbal Space Program, so he does a lot of tutorials and a lot of serials that he does. But that's my take on Kerbal Space Program, and I would love to have it. It is number one on my wish list.
You see his name is Scott Manley.
Scott Manley.
That's a manly.
You know, like,
name.
I feel like his friend should be like Guy Strongly.
Guy Strongly.
Max Power. Max Power.
Sparky Plug.
Good times. Yeah. No, not Sparky Plug.
Tom Holly.
Well, the name of Sparky Plug is getting choked up against the wall. So,
that's
it. What else you got? Anything else?
I'm trying to squeeze things out of my brain here.
We'll circle back around.
Yeah, circle back around and make a bring it up later.
Yeah, Brian.
I played Goat Simulator, and it was awesome. It was so fun.
Do you guys play together?
No. I played it on. I just got it off of their site real quick and just played it. And it was awesome and fun and fantastic.
Isn't it like $16?
It's like ten bucks. It's super cheap. It's awesome. It's literally just a giant stupid sandbox of a goat where his head flops around, and you can
from a game jam,
jamming around on the games and everything. Now, what it reminds me of, interesting, I've never played this game, but it reminds me sort of the way it controls. It reminds me of The Amazing Frog, which was a game on the Ouya, one of those games. The Ouya?
What was it called?
The Ouya.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, because it died pretty quick.
It's in my closet.
Yeah, it died pretty quick. But there's a game...
We have a used one at my work, so if anybody needs an Ouya...
There's this Ouya?
Are you going to pay them to take it?
Right, yeah.
$69.99. Did they pay Tim Allen to come up with a name?
But there's a game on there called The Amazing Frog, with a question mark. That's why I... made by some Swedes... and it's literally you just like pit-patting around as a frog trying to get sick air. So you just try to get like higher and higher as it goes along. And that's basically what the trampoline mechanics in Goat Simulator feel like. Funny thing, doesn't feel like a goat simulator. I don't feel like a goat can do most of these things. But I did become...
That's the joke.
I know, it's a joke. But I did become... It was very fun. I don't want to spoil things for you. It's an open sandbox world. You can do whatever you want. You find different little things regardless of where you go. One of the things I did, I found a giant pentagram in the woods, right? And it's... You jump on the pentagram and
it
says...
Is this...
Yeah.
You were the goat.
This was the goat. This is the goat in the goat simulator.
Am I talking to Brandon?
Yes, yeah. I'm talking in the game goat simulator.
Are you in there, Brandon?
As the goat, you walk into the woods and there's a pentagram on the ground.
A great mental image of you dressed right? like a goat walking in the woods. There's a fucking pentagram in here.
This goat simulator game is great. And I'm just insane. Now, and it says, and you find this pentagram, and it says, bring sacrifices. So you go.
No!
So you go and grab sacrifices. It's like four or five people. There just happens to be a party like outside in the woods, like right over there. So you can just like lick people and drag them over to the goat. And when it happens, it'll like all the bodies like contort together into like a ball, and it starts spinning, and it explodes and become this devil goat for a little while, where you have like special flame powers for a little bit. And that's just how the game is, and it's awesome. And you can make it slow-mo and ragdoll and all that stuff. And
we really need to talk about your druggy beast.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, it's all in the game, I swear.
Drugs are bad.
It's okay. All in the game.
I gotta catch that dragon. And find Charlie Hawk.
Gotta find Charlie Hawk.
Your first treatment session is gonna be a first 30.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah. Oh, no. We still gotta do a first 30 of Mega Man 2, though. That's gonna happen.
Dude, that was my first Mega Man game.
It's the best Mega Man
game. I love it.
Never played a Mega Man game.
Yeah, so. He's never played one, so he's gonna play a first
30. My ringtone is Wily's Castle.
There you go. Of course it is, because that's the best.
That's the best one in the game. Ever. Yes, ever.
Did we just come best friends?
Yeah.
Yep. Let's go do karate in the garage.
Yeah. So anyway,
Wonder Twins.
Other than that, I haven't played anything else, but I did watch a pretty cool movie on Netflix the other day. It was called That Guy Who's in That Thing. It is a documentary about lesser known actors that you see everywhere. Guys that you've seen in everything and do not know their name. Like the guy who was Senator Kelly on X-Men, he's in it.
Yeah.
His name is Bruce Davison. I will never forget that name now. But he's in everything. He was in the RoboCop movie too, the new RoboCop. But yeah, so that guy, Wade Williams, who played Belloc on Prison Break.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of stuff. But it's just fun. It's just them talking about their careers and how it's kind of hard to play a character actor because it's like, oh, well, I had a few guest spots. Time to see if I can eat again. You know, right. You know, it's like all the guys they've interviewed, they've all kind of made it, so they kind of get regular, you know, guest spot work. But like when it's starting out, it's just kind of like, all right, cool. They got the Black Cylon on there, the guy who played the Black Cylon from Battlestar. He's, you know, and he's just like, okay, cool. His first job was a McDonald's commercial that I'd never seen before, and he used that as his portfolio for a long time because the whole point of that commercial was that he was a different person, like every few seconds, or like he's a business guy, and then he's like a Rastafarian, you know, like that, and he just used that as his thing. It's like here I am acting, like you know, and it's just but a lot of fun stories came out of it. Good movie, That Guy Who Was in That Thing. Good movie, so. Good documentary. That's about all I got. So,
Since Hoss has given me the look of inquisitiveness,
inquisitory,
or bedroom eyes, I can't quite make out the same thing.
if that's bedroom eyes, yes. I think you may have raped everyone you've ever seen. I'm not racist to you, but that was not what those were.
Is that why they were always kicking and screaming?
Yeah, I thought it's because I liked
that. I thought that was foreplay.
Stop talking about that.
I've been other than playing Golf Simulator, which Brandon covered, great.
Yeah.
I haven't played anything new. I picked up Borderlands 2 because it was on a Steam sale. That game's awesome.
Yeah,
I like that.
Borderlands.
I hate its sense of humor, but I love that game.
Really?
Oh, that fucking shit just disgusts me.
What's the sense of humor?
Oh, it's just like, hey guys, you remember the internet with the jokes and LOL, OMG.
I'm certain that's exaggerated.
That's very exaggerated.
No, you've got this fucking claptrap following you the entire time that keeps saying that shit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That would drive me up the frickin' wall.
Oh my god!
I have another reason why not to play that game.
It's not that bad. Claptrap isn't that bad. Oh, he's annoying.
Yeah.
There's some funny parts. Right. Like, at the very beginning, he wakes you up because he thinks you're dead and he's robbing you. He's like, oh, you're alive. follow me?
Yeah.
And you follow him, and the first mission is like, whoa, you've proven that you can walk several steps without dying. Congratulations, let's move on.
All right, cool. Like, well, and he is occasionally funny, but all of the humor that he spouts later on is just, here's all these recycled internet jokes.
Mm.
Yeah. It's real tiring.
My roommate Tim's been playing that quite a lot.
Yeah.
So
it was free on PS3.
Yeah.
They got a guy named Handsome Jack. He's the main villain. It's pretty funny. He pops in on your little earpiece every once in a while. He's like, hey, I just want to let you know how rich I am. I got a horse made of diamonds, and it's not just a statue. It's a real horse I put diamonds on, and I'm going to name him Dickface after you because we're friends. See you later.
I feel like that's you if you were a villain.
Probably.
That's probably why you enjoyed something.
I like it. I like the shooty machutes. You got all these special guns and do all kinds of special powers. I know it's not a new game, but it's new to me. And that's all that matters, and I have a blast playing it. So I think it's a lot of fun. I'm about halfway through.
I just play that game on mute.
Dude.
I've actually played quite a bit of that game. I play it on mute.
I
don't care what anybody's got to say. Like, it's not one of those environmental games where, like, you need to hear the enemies, like, oh, they're coming. Fuck it, whatever. Yeah. I've got this shotgun that shoots rockets out of it. Fuck you.
The guns are insane.
Right.
I mean, I have an ability turned on toward, like,
shurikens and lightning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where's that from?
That's from Yahtzee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I have a gun that shoots acid bullets.
Oh, there you go.
And then every time someone dies from said acid bullets, I have a bonus turn on where they explode and the acid bullets fall onto the next guy who's around. It's ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous.
But it's a fun game to play. I've also been playing. I watched a movie called Free to Play, which I think we're going to talk about later, maybe, perhaps.
I forgot to watch it.
It's,
Let's talk about it next week.
Okay, well,
I will have watched it by then, too.
I have watched it. I think I texted you all.
I ended up watching a bunch of wrestling instead.
Right? Of course you did.
No, that doesn't surprise me. Just in short, it's a really good movie. It's basically just the synopsis is how big electronic sports are getting and how far behind the times we are compared to China.
Yeah.
One example they gave was the Chinese soccer team, or the football team they call it.
Football, yeah.
Had an electronic sports champion, this child.
Right.
This 16-year-old kid coming to their locker room to motivate the team to play better. Wow. That's how seriously they take this.
Well, to be fair, Chinese soccer's fucking terrible.
Well, I would assume so, but
I mean,
that shit wouldn't work in Manchester United, right?
Yeah.
Who's this fucking kid here?
Yeah, but I mean, it's on that.
I say rough him up!
Yeah, it's on that level to where it's the Chinese team named E-Home, which is the biggest, like, they're the Yankees of electronic sports.
Gotcha.
And their coach, a coach sitting behind them with making notes of them playing video games and telling them what to do, told them, if we come home with anything less than the prize trophy, the grand prize trophy, we are throwing it in the garbage at the airport, and we are going home. We will not take anything less than first home.
Well, China's that way about a lot of things.
Yeah. Sure.
We do not believe in sportsmanship.
Yeah. But, I mean, good movie. Check it out. It's free.
Awesome.
Which is, yeah, obviously, it's the name of the movie. You can download it on Steam for free.
Nice.
It's a good hour and a half.
Cool.
Check it out. But I watched that instantly wanted to play Dota. So I played Dota for about 18 hours straight.
I like the eye flicker you gave there. Just like,
yeah, that's the days I was in. I mean, a lot of people give
Dota.
A lot of people give Dota crap. It's fun.
Yeah.
Everybody has the games that they like.
Yeah. Exactly.
I like Dota.
It's a very, very vicious player base too.
Oh yeah. People will be irate.
I'm new. I'm new. Get out of my game.
Yeah, that's what I think I was telling Brandon about this guy. There's a very cheap character in Dota named Zeus. Every character has an ultimate power when they hit level 6, and they can use it at different times depending on the power. Zeus's power is he hits a button, and everybody gets struck by lightning for an amazing amount of damage.
Yeah.
That's it. He don't have to be near you. If you are on the map, he will hit you. The only way you can avoid this is if you're invisible or you have some sort of dagger that makes you invisible to his attack.
Let me guess.
It's very expensive.
Let me guess. Anybody that plays that character, everybody else gets pissed out.
Yeah, it's cheap.
But
it's cheap.
I'm playing, and I'm not getting hit. I'm on the guy's team, so I'm okay with him getting kills.
Right.
And so we're running around, and everybody has voice chat on, and I'm running around. I'm blink daggering people as Ricky, who's in an invisible character. He can go invis and get people from behind. And the whole team is, other than me, is giving him shit because it's such a cheap character. He keeps kill stealing, and he just keeps saying every time he's about to hit him with lightning, he screams, "I'm new!" Boom! It just hits the entire map with lightning and kills about four guys.
I just pictured Joe Dirt sitting in a chair. "I'm new. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm new.
I'm sorry."
A good friend of the show, at least a good friend of mine who listens all the time, Ryan. He's the one that introduced me to it because I was like, "Let's play League of Legends." He's like, "Let's play Dota instead. It's better." So I started playing Dota. Man, I love that game. I really just want to go home and play that game right now.
It's the issue that I take with that game is that it's kind of two strikes. I like fighting games a lot, but I end up really having an affinity for specific fighting games. Because I don't like games with asshole communities.
Yeah.
I just don't. And so it's strike one. I think that a lot of the Dota community is full of assholes.
There are some people who get genuinely... They're dicks and probably in real life. I've met a lot of really good people on there that
And that's fine, but had really bad experiences. I've played quite a bit of it. I've had bad experiences there.
Right. Yeah.
And then the second thing is that, I don't like the way that people talk about it. It's the same problem, and my friends will argue against this, and that's fine. It's the same problem I have with people who talk about Dark Souls all the time.
Yeah.
Right. You don't understand games because this has the depth that you couldn't possibly imagine. dude, what the fuck ever? All your game has... It doesn't have depth, it just has more characters. That's it. That's not depth, that's just more.
That's true, that could be spread out thinly.
Exactly. It's five moves, one character, six levels. That's it, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying that that's bad. I think it's cool. It's got 120 whatever characters in it.
Yeah.
Right. They don't charge for characters like League of Legends does, which makes it nice. It's an even playing field. They've done a lot of really cool stuff. I mean, but I don't want to play a game with assholes.
Yeah. I try not to let it bother me, but when it's something that's you have to contend and play with these guys, period.
Yeah, because when I play Titanfall or Halo, the first thing I do every match is mute fucking everybody. Because you know what? It's team deathmatch. I'm going to fucking win. I don't give a shit what you do. I'm going to fucking win.
Sam, I love that you're doing the RVD thumbs.
I'm going to fucking win. Yeah, because you know what? I'm the best motherfucker on that team.
And you like apple pie.
Bo Dallas does that now.
Bo Dallas.
He stands in the ring, does this, and jumps up and down, and kind of points himself, and then thumbs up, and says, "It's Bo time."
All right,
it is Bo time.
All right, there we go. Schmozcast.
Anyway, let's do our professional wrestling podcast. I yell on there a lot.
And cry, get mad.
Not like this podcast where you're totally subdued.
It's got that in your style face.
It does have that new style face.
In your style face.
All right, but yeah, I guess that's a transition to me.
Go.
Is that what that is?
Sure.
Bring it on.
I'm on the last level of Infamous I was trying to beat before you got here. I haven't finished yet.
Infamous.
That game's warmed up on me. Real short game, though.
Real short game. That seems to be a template.
Question. Define short game in your book.
If an open world game
is
less than 20 hours.
Yeah.
Really? Less than 20? Okay.
This game is less than 15.
I know.
Now, for your average game, in a Call of Duty campaign, you can say, well, hell, that game's only 4 hours long. But yeah, that game has a multiplayer that I could play for the next 5 years. That game doesn't have any of that. Once you finish that game at 14 hours, I regret buying that game because I have the ability to play games without paying for them.
Yeah.
That game is fantastic. That game is a you-must-play-this-kind-of-game. It's one of the best-looking games I've ever seen.
Right.
But when I'm done with that game, it will sit on that shelf and never get used again.
There you go.
There will be no... Because I'm going to 100% that game. I'm at 94%. There's no reason for me to not finish it.
Hmm.
I will have everything and have done everything. Now it's like, oh, well, you know, I played through as evil. It's like, oh, you can go back and play as good. Yeah, well, I'm not a pussy. I've never once played a game with good karma, ever. Because I'm not a pussy.
Let me help you. I'm setting you on fire.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? Look, and I've occasionally done nice things in games where I'm like, this guy doesn't deserve to die.
Right.
But, like, just look at my Mass Effect experience where I had barely enough characters to fill a party at the end of Mass Effect 1, and it didn't get any better from there. I mean, you could have just reinstalled my character, Commander, y'all gonna die, Shepard. Oh, you gonna die? You gonna die.
You're making no allies against
them. No.
Fuck those guys. They
it's called a suicide mission. Guess what? I'm just clearing the pack.
Survival of the fittest, bitches.
Yeah. So I went evil as shit. Some of that stuff's real bad. I feel like they don't necessarily want you to ever play those Infamous games as evil because it's a teen-rated game. You can't ever really get, like, Vish.
Right.
Yeah, like, it's kind of just like, I can't believe you did that. I'm really mad at you. Like, I just murdered like 30 school children. Like, what are you?
I want you to do that voice for the rest of this podcast.
I don't really like you very much.
I'm gonna play this other game.
Hi guys.
Yeah, so that's Infamous. That game's great. Maybe don't buy it. I mean, if you got a PS4, honestly, you probably already bought it.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, I just feel like $60 for as short as that game is, and the fact that you will never want to replay that game unless you have a friend who comes over and just go, look at this, ex-boner. This game is beautiful. It's, you know, as far as like an open world game goes, it's probably the best looking one of those ever.
Right.
Hands down, I don't care if you're talking PC or what.
Right.
It's the best looking one of those.
Nice.
But especially like later on in the game, the kind of the second act, whenever you get your new ability, you get the neon ability.
Right.
That game gets super colorful, but it's all at night and it's raining, so all of your abilities reflect on everything and it's all wet. It looks fucking phenomenal, dude. Nice. That game looks great.
That's pretty cool.
At nighttime, with the neon ability, that there are a few games that look like that. You know, from a raw technical perspective, maybe something like Rise Center Rome might boast textures and just raw fidelity, but it's dealing with that on a much smaller scale. I mean, there's something to really behold of doing that super sprint run ability up the side of a building.
Yeah.
And having you, like, blink in and out and, like, neon sparks shooting everywhere. Then you get to the top of the building, you're like, this is my land! And this really...
Behold! Claimed.
Welcome! But yeah, that game's pretty dope. I also... what else did I play? I played some Lego Marvel.
Lego Marvel, nice.
That's okay.
Yeah. Lego games are pretty fun.
Those games have changed a lot. They're a lot bigger, more substantial games than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to them, puzzle solving, things like that.
Right.
Pretty good games. That one, playing it on the Xbox One, looks okay. I think that's pretty fun. But playing a shitload more Titanfall and Halo. Since this last podcast, I've kind of just been playing a whole lot of multiplayer games.
Yeah.
I got Hoss put back on Halo.
Oh, man. It's... You know, like, when they say, like, you know, if somebody's been, like, off heroin for 5 years, the first time they do it again, that's when they tend to OD because they think they can just jump. I've OD'd on that game. I took the biggest shot of Halo right in the arm.
I did come in and your mouth was foaming a little bit.
Give
it to me, the vein, Cortana!
I paid a lady to inject Halo into my boner. It was weird. But yeah, that game... Aw, oh, come on. I'm like, oh, I'm too good for that. Now, those other boner jokes earlier, they were...
This podcast is too classy for that garbage, right?
But yeah, and then the other thing I'll say is I've only played probably 30 minutes of it, but I played some of Mercenary Kings. I wish that was a better game.
Huh. What is that?
Mercenary Kings, it's basically the modern day, you know, interpretation of Metal Slug. It, you know, it's sprite based. It's free on PlayStation Plus right now. I'll show you some of this afterwards if you want to take a look at it. You know, it's sprite based, got great music to it, but I'm really uninterested, disinterested. Sorry, in the gameplay.
Right.
I just don't like the fact there was one small thing. As a guy who owns a Neo Geo cabinet, I would consider myself to be someone who loves his ass some Metal Slug.
Right.
One thing about Metal Slug is that when you are running at a dude and shooting, bullets are coming out of your gun.
Right.
And as soon as they get within knife range,
right,
he just knifes them.
Yeah.
In this game, they made a knife button. And
yeah.
I have a real hard time, for whatever reason, judging the hitbox for the knife.
Right.
And the knife's too slow.
Yeah.
It's not the jutting out that's too slow, it's the retracting it to be able to use it again.
Right, right.
Maybe I'll get used to it over time. It is 4-player co-op.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. It's the free game this month. It's a $20 game. So, I mean, obviously, if you have a PS4 and you're a PS Plus member, give it a shot. It's probably, as of right now, and this could completely change, it's my least favorite of the free offerings so far.
Mm-hmm.
The game I keep going back to is Don't Starve.
Don't Starve, yeah, that's a fun little...
I've gotten to, like, 15 days.
15 days? Have you run into the giant spider thing
yet? Oh, yeah, I've murdered the shit out of that thing.
Is it as terrifying as it looked when we first saw it? Because we didn't want to go near it the first time.
Oh, I murdered the fuck out of that thing.
Okay, yeah.
And all his children.
Well, there you go.
Ed.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, what'd you get from it? Did you get something? Did you get
it? It's Dren drops.
Okay.
And they're everywhere, like, especially as you get farther and farther through the map.
Yeah.
Don't Starve, man. If you haven't played it, right, the game's awesome.
Yeah.
Play that game.
Very Minecraft, minus the Minecraft graphics. It's cool.
And the other thing, I'll kind of do a what you've been watching segment here. I watched the first season back about a year and a half ago of American Horror Story. Thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they never put up the second season, like, before the third one started?
Yeah, for a long time.
So I never saw it.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I'm not going to watch three. I think I still have it on the DVR. I DVR'd the third season because I was like, oh, after I watch two, I'll watch this.
Yeah.
I've gone back, and I started watching American Horror Story season two.
Yeah, Asylum is apparently...
That shit is awesome, dude!
Apparently.
That shit is awesome!
My brother does not care for the first season. He watched the full first season.
I like the first season! Dude, that redhead with the...
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've literally never seen it. I've seen a few episodes.
Eric, she's your kind of lady.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah, she's your kind of lady.
Is it
type in American Horror Story redhead.
I've seen a few episodes of The Coven, the third season. I've never seen Asylum. My brother loves
it. Jessica Lange is in this just like she was the first season and the third season.
Right.
She's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, right?
She is a bitch. What a bitch.
Yeah.
She's really good at doing that.
She is really good at being a bitch.
I feel like she just really wants everyone to die.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty lady.
Yeah.
For certain. But, fiery red hair.
As oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dina Meyer red hair.
And there's a lot of scenes where she's in the maid's outfit and you can see if she the other part matches.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go.
But, yeah, that's kind of a... That's sort of a good touch on what I've done in the last week. Watch, obviously, more professional wrestling. We're getting ready to go to WrestleMania.
Yep.
Me and Brandon making the road trip.
Yep.
Woo!
Woo! Eric's sad.
I don't get to go.
But
you had the kid. Don't blame us.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I plan on taking my handhelds with me
right
when we go, so I'm hopefully going to get some...
is that what you named your wiener?
That's not at all. I'm talking about my 3DS and my Vita.
Okay.
Now that's what I call my wiener.
yeah.
I'm taking those, so hopefully I'll get some time in. I want to finish, finally, Legend of Zelda... Link Between Worlds, and I've also got some Vita stuff, like Thomas Was Alone is free right now.
Right.
There's a bunch of other stuff. You know, maybe I'll play some more Guacamelee, and hey, you'll get an opportunity to play some of that.
I want to play Guacamelee.
So, yeah, like, that's kind of what I plan on doing over the next week. Anybody got anything else going on in the next week they want to talk about?
I will be attending PAX East next week.
Nice!
Oh, yeah. I'll be leaving next Wednesday. No, I'll be leaving next Thursday, the 10th.
Cool.
Morning.
Cool.
Yeah, I was one of the guys that sniped the opening window of the registration, got me a 3-day badge. It is sitting on my desk very, very safely where no one else can get it except me.
Nice.
So I'll be the 3-day event, the 11th, 12th, and 13th in Boston.
I thought about going to PAX Prime this year. Do you know when they go on sale this year?
It's usually about...
Do you go to Prime or do you only go to East?
I went to Prime last year. It was phenomenal.
Tell you what.
That's a 4-day event. That's Thursday through... That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
I would only want to do like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go, I would consider... Doing the trip if you wanted to go.
Yeah, I could do that. I'll have to find my receipt from it to remember when the window opened. Yeah. Because I did that same thing with this year's, and it's usually about a month or so after the previous event. So after PAX East, it's about a month or so, and it normally opens on a Wednesday.
Right.
Well, keep me posted on that. If I can get a badge, I'd love to go. It's a great show. I've had the pleasure of attending in the past. Mm-hmm. I like it, but the last time I was there, they had a... I think it was only the second or third year. It was a much smaller show. Still jam-packed, but it was a much smaller show then. Yeah.
It's probably the closest that the public will get to an E3 type of event. I think it's a great show. Mike and Jerry, Gabe and Tygo put on a great, at least helped create a great experience. And there's a little bit of a controversy behind the thing because of some stupid comic a while back that everyone still complains about.
Dick Wolves.
Dick Wolves. Yeah.
I wasn't gonna
bring it up, but
apparently that was too close to a rape joke or something.
Well,
I'm
not gonna bring it up because PAX is bigger than Mike and Jerry at this point. It's a great experience. There's a lot of good stuff that comes from PAX.
Right. Also, they didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I'm not going to say anything. I remain neutral on that. I'm staying out of that. Just let it.
But
let that
a game developer corner. Actually, and the reason I wouldn't want to go, I don't want to wait in any lines for any games. I don't give a shit about any of that. I just want to go hang out in like the Nintendo booth with all the beanbags, like their little lounge area, and just street pass with people. And I want to hit a bunch of panels because even at PAX East this year. Patrick Klepek is going to be on a panel with. God, I can't think of her right name last night. Her first name is Zoe, but she's a game developer, and she's actually having a panel that's opening the floor to the conversation about things like the Dick Wolves.
Yeah,
because she herself was at the show last year when the Dick Wolves thing got brought back up again.
Yeah,
and she was like, "Yeah, like I was kind of offended." And
fine,
it's not. Bad that I was offended, but here's the thing, is that if somebody gets offended at a joke, and nobody, and everybody on the other side of it refuses to ever talk about it,
right.
We're never going to get past this 5-year-old fucking joke.
Yeah.
We can't just, what? It's the thing about like an argument, you can't just bury an argument and say, well, we'll get over it eventually. No, because it'll keep surfacing. So hopefully things like this will help. Dick Wolves was a joke about it was a comic about these wolves that would come and they would rape people to death.
Yeah. It was supposed to talk about a stupid side quest or something like that.
World Warcraft.
Yeah. And it blew up.
And so.
And the video arcade guys didn't help matters.
No, they didn't at all.
Because after they had already been accused of a lot of people were like, this comic was really offensive. They made a second comic.
Right.
Where they took the joke even farther.
Right.
And then after that, they took the joke even farther and made merch.
Oh.
And made money off of the joke.
Oh, there you go.
And so then people were showing up in Dick Wolf shirts at their events. It's like, guys,
this is
you're just segregating a community that was supposed to be loving, and now it's half these people hate these other half of these other people. And
right.
There are a lot of women that I'm not a woman, so I don't know, but I'm some women are well, if this is the kind of environment they're fostering, I don't know if I feel safe at that kind of show.
Right. Right.
Which that may be overstating it a tad,
but
because there's never been anything like that at a PAX ever.
Yeah.
At some of those smaller con things, it can get kind of dicey.
Yeah.
But PAX has always been pretty upstanding. They're sentries that they have placed everywhere. Those dudes are great.
Right.
Most of them are wearing utility kilts.
God.
They breathe well.
Jeez.
But yeah, they're it seems like they put together a really, a nice welcoming environment there.
Yes.
But it's just that they need to get their messaging together, and there's a few, if not one, but a few conversations that will probably have to take place until they can finally put this behind them. But it's their own fucking fault. It's not that they made the comic. It's that you tried to take it farther and say, well, if I just keep jamming this joke in your face, you'll think it's funny. That's... Well, and then when they profited from it?
No, I think...
That's the problem.
I don't think it was that you'll think it's funny. It's like, I keep jamming this in your face. I think it's fucking funny. So, you know, I think that's more the attitude they were going with it. They were probably just like, you know... They say offensive and terrible things every day on that comic. And you know, it was one that was singled out by some people, and then they handle it probably improperly, especially if you want to try and have a community of openness and, you know, collectivity, and everybody wants to be involved.
Where you're going to have 100,000 welcomed guests.
You probably should have just been like
at your events.
Like you know, you could have left the comic on and said, sorry if that offended anybody.
Yeah, and that's all you say. And the next day you say, hey, I realized we had a comic that some people found offensive. That was definitely not our intent, but
that had some other offensive shit on here, so...
That is our authorial tone for that, but we have taken your concerns under advisement, and, you know, moving forward, we may put a disclaimer before
now,
comics that are like this.
Now, I have only ever heard aftermath of the Dick Wolf thing. I can't believe we're talking about dick wolves.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bring this up.
No. I think it's a good topic, personally.
I think whenever PAX comes up, this conversation always happens.
Like,
I didn't know about it until PAX Prime.
I didn't know about it until, like
well, that was when it got hot again.
Well, yeah, I know. That's when someone brought it up again.
Fucking Mike, that son of a bitch.
He'd bring it up or something?
Yeah, somebody asked me, what's your biggest regret when it comes to Petty Arcade?
Taking the merchandise down.
Taking the dick wolf stuff out of the store.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you fucking ass! It was over!
Yeah, you could have said...
Nobody even asked him about it. He brought it up!
You know, he could have just said, the Dick Wolves incident.
Yeah.
And he could have meant anything by that, and nobody would have said, yeah, okay. I could see where that's a regret.
Yeah.
You know, just the incident. Not the joke. Not that he took the merch off the fucking table.
I wasn't
just
even at that panel.
I just
heard about it.
Right,
I had to go look it up.
I'd only heard about it last year, and it was just interesting to me, so I went through this whole frickin' drama quest. You ever gone on one of those where you just try to dig up the drama of something?
Yeah, you end up in a NeoGAF post that's 70,000 replies.
It's just this bizarre little world of, like, what happened here? Like that dude that had the disabled controller, that guy who, like, had the marketing rights for that thing and went off on some dude and some customer, and then PAX, the guys from PAX, like, posted on their thing, and, oh, man, it was hilarious.
But my trip to PAX got pulled over.
Sorry, but it did,
discussion here.
Go on.
And that's partly my fault, sorry.
No, Dick Wolves, what?
Yeah, all right. I'm really looking forward to it. PAX East last year was my first PAX. Loved it. I mean, for those who don't know, I'm a veteran of the anime con circuit for the past 12 years.
There we go.
So I got into the gaming scene, conventions, and it's all. I think it's a lot better.
Right. Yeah.
Not that I don't do the anime cons anymore. I still work the one in Detroit.
Right.
But I love it. It's a very very mature fan, much more grown up. Fan base, more well behaved.
Right.
But that's another topic for another day. But I'm really looking forward to it. The indie game floor is all focused around mobile games at East, as opposed to other platforms at Prime.
Right.
I've already got the guidebook on my app of stuff to do.
Right.
And I'll be hitting the floor. That I'm not sure what games are going to be on the floor, what's going to be showcased, or what's playable yet.
Right.
But I don't know if I'm going to be standing in line for 6 hours to play Tesso. But no.
That's why I was hoping that GDC would have been a bigger deal.
I wanted to go to GDC, but I didn't have the time, and B, I didn't want to shell the money out to go out there to San Francisco and buy a access. Because the all-access pass is like, what, $1,800 or something like that.
Jesus!
Yeah. But...
It's worth going once.
But that's the all-access pass, if you want to go everything.
I can get on the floor for $200.
Yeah, you can. Also, but someone like me who's been a convention worker, a staffer for all over the place. You know, they take volunteers, and you get an all access pass for working 4 hours a day or something like that.
Oh wow!
And it's all week, but you have to be there the whole week.
Yeah.
So, which is a pretty damn good deal.
Pretty good deal.
I'm like, I worked GDC. Sign me up.
Right. Yeah.
So, But I'll have to look forward to some in the future. But E3 is off limits for me because I'm not industry.
Right.
I got some friends of mine that go regularly, but well, I'll just have to watch the press conferences right. every year.
What you do to have friends listen to this podcast, and then we'll become industry.
Yeah,
right.
We are industry.
We are industry. We are legion.
Wave the magic wand and surprise. Exactly. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but that's how it works, right? Just,
that works. Is Tokyo Game Show open to public?
Yeah, that's a public event.
It's a public. That's what I thought. Huh. And that's not long after E3, is it?
In the no, that's September, October. Just depends on.
Okay, okay. So that's about the same time.
It's all based on their calendar.
Dude, we should go to Tokyo. Be awesome.
Well, I've been trying to get you to go to Tokyo for 2 years.
I know, right? Well, no, you suggested it, but you've never gone. You haven't gone.
I've been.
You not
twice.
No, but not when you talked to me about it. And I'm going to say, yeah, I know you went before, but not since you've been talking to me about it.
So, that's true.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. I'd love to go to Tokyo. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't been across the pond yet. So I've been north of the border and I've been south of the border.
Oh, but so cool. I haven't
been across the water yet.
Been in New York. That was fun.
But, yeah, I've been there a couple times. I was in New York today, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I just had to fly to New York and back, so it doesn't
work. So, you know, I've been there.
Saw him left. It was all right.
Sure, this morning.
It's all good.
It's super rated.
Yeah.
New Jersey, the New Jersey side.
It's pretty fun. I couldn't live there.
Seward.
Why does it smell like ass here?
That's just the smell. That's just the pungent
look
smell.
Up. Go to YouTube and look. Success. What was the R&B rap video? A song that was talking about New York or something like that. I don't know what it was. But
New York.
Someone did a. Someone
yeah, it was Jay-Z song.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. But someone did one for Newark as a parody.
Okay.
And it's nice. Hilarious. Nice. So about how the places are trashy or something like that.
I had a friend who saw a guy die in the Newark airport, and he's like, man, of all the places.
what the hell?
Jesus. No, it pissed me off about New York.
Wow. Yeah.
They have no dollar menu.
No dollar menu in New York.
What?
At least at the Times Square McDonald's. Okay, me and Brandon went to...
you went to Times Square!
I know, right? Yeah.
That's where we were staying.
Yeah,
we had a hotel a block from Times Square and less than a mile from the convention center of New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
So we've been traveling all day and we were on a stupid fucking shuttle.
Stupidest idea we've ever done.
Yeah, so it was worst $30 we ever fucking spent.
Ride the train, ride the bus. That's what you do in fucking New York.
Yeah.
Do not get a shuttle. It sucks.
I had my wife's cousin who lives there who helped us get back much quicker and cheaper.
Yeah.
So we're starving. We're like, let's go to our hotel room. First of all, hotel room. Sketchy as shit.
Yeah, we had to get the fuck out of there.
Where did you stay?
Hold on. Let me tell you about this hotel.
Oh, God.
It was $90 a night.
Yeah.
Where?
On Times Square.
Yeah.
Was it the Wellington?
No, it's called the Hotel Carter.
The Hotel Carter.
Okay, so the Wellington's about the whole block down.
It is attached to a strip club.
To a strip club. Attached to it.
This is how classy this joint is.
Right, yeah.
Classy with a K.
Yeah.
Classy with a K.
So we walk into this place, and we're dropping off our bags. We need to get something to eat, and I'll get to the McDonald's in a second. We go to our hotel
room. Hotel shaved.
We go to our hotel room, and we walk into this room after we check in.
It is
trashed.
Trash.
I mean, literally trash on the ground. Like, old Sprite bottles and liquor bottles, and the beds aren't made. There's pubes everywhere. There's old school box TV that someone wrote, like put graffiti on
on the
glass of the screen. Not even on the side like Mike was here. It was on the glass.
It's freezing cold up there. I'm like, why is it so fucking cold?
The window won't shut.
Window in the bathroom won't shut.
It slides down. It's one of the ones that slide down. So you push it up and go.
It slides right the fuck back open.
The door to the bathroom wasn't an interior door. It was a door with a... glass window?
Yeah.
A stained glass window that like it was meant to be a front
like
door.
It was meant to be a front door, like your door with that
it
window.
It didn't have a handle. It just had a hole where the handle should be.
Yeah.
And a toilet paper stuck in it, you know, for privacy, minus the glass window.
Yeah, yeah. There was no tub.
You paid money for this place.
Yeah. And there was no tub. Oh,
hold on.
It was just a shower.
Wall.
And like the tile floor was dipped.
Yeah,
where the shower was.
It was like a drain. So we came to the conclusion that they send everybody to this room first.
Yeah,
and then everybody goes and complains
and says we went in the fucking room and this is garbage.
Then the room we got by comparison was great.
It was fantastic.
It was clean, flat screen TVs, shower worked, yeah. The door shut.
Wasn't a great hotel room.
Yeah. If you
what
wasn't on April Fool's Day.
Miles no. above that. So yeah.
I think if you would have went to our secondary hotel room first, you'd be like, this room's shit.
Yeah.
But after we got out of the really shitty room that I think you would have got murdered in,
yeah.
at some way, shape, or form, it was a great hotel room.
It was a great hotel room.
Well, that's been an all new edition of the Video to Shrek podcast. I have nothing to say after that. Guys, we'll talk to you next week. I don't know when we're recording next week. We'll be back on Monday from WrestleMania, but Lord knows we'll be able to record Tuesday.
I'm going
to
be recording.
About an hour.
Is that it? Okay.
Over an hour.
So we're doing.
Is that it? Do you have anything else you want?
Well, I was thought we were going to prepare everything about the publisher's Metacritic and all that stuff like that, but. But that's a long topic.
Yeah, let's actually talk about that. I do want to talk about Adam. Okay. I do want to talk about Adam Sessler leaving.
Oh yeah, that's right. So they announced that today.
They announced that today. Apparently,
he posted on his Tumblr.
Adam Sessler is leaving Rev3 a month after I learned that Adam Sessler is at a show on the internet.
I forgot he was at Rev3 until PAX Prime.
Yeah, so irritating because I was like, I haven't heard.
Sessler's a great guy.
He's on anything in a while. Yeah. And then...
He's got Rev3 on YouTube. He's all...
Haas tells me he's got Rev3 on YouTube. Yeah, he's on there all the time. I'm like, sweet! So I go to check out him on Rev3, and now he's leaving. So, son of a bitch.
Yep. Yeah. All that's left is, I think Tara Long's still there, and then Max Skull is a Destructoid now. And then, I don't know, I forgot.
Destructoid's had quite a bit of flip lately.
Yeah, Destructoid's a... Is a pretty good site, pretty good crew. I met some of them at PAX Prime.
Right,
like, they're nice guys.
Yeah, they're great people.
You know, they've always been pretty upright. It's a little hard as an American to follow their coverage just because the release schedules are typically so different.
Yeah.
Many of their writers are European, so they're not necessarily always playing the exact same things that we're playing.
Right.
But I enjoy their criticism. I don't necessarily follow them for reviews.
You're a Slavic simulator.
Oh, hello, welcome
to the law.
Hello. This is Robot Destroy You.
Well, in Soviet Russia, Robot Destroy You. Goat Simulate You.
FIFA I do play. Not want the goat to simulate me.
I don't want that either.
Apparently he was simulating Brandon a while ago when he found that pentagram.
Right? It's crazy.
No, that was Brandon simulating him.
It's in the game, I swear to God. Anyway.
I was in the woods. What?
Oh man,
yeah.
But yeah, like you talked a little bit earlier about the whole Metacritic thing, and it was something that Adam Sessler had been talking about recently, and it's something that has been.
There's a good. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's a really good article that a friend of mine just posted from Kotaku, a really long one too, about the whole thing about Metacritic and gaming budgets, publishers and developers, and all this crap that's going on with it.
The first time I heard it come up, to the point where it affected the back end, like bonuses and actual pay for developers, was in the wake of Fallout New Vegas. That game had bonuses for employees based upon a Metacritic of 80.
85.
And that game ended up with a Metacritic of like 81.
84 or 84, something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. It missed it by like a couple of points. It was still a great game that sold a fuck ton.
Right.
The Metacritic score of that game did not affect the way that game sold at all.
No.
Right.
The Metacritic score of that game had literally nothing to do with the way that game performed.
Right.
But somehow somebody's pay was based upon that.
Right.
And it's a fucked up industry thing. Like, you hear a lot about it out of EA and Activision as well. Viewing, like, incentive-based, programs for developers, basically withholding money that the developer had asked for, based on an installment plan based on you achieving these goals and getting this Metacritic, and there's incentivizing, and then there's basically nitpicking.
Yeah,
and there's this the Metacritic culture is fucked because I understand that when it's all taken across the board, it should all even out to this perfect number.
Right.
Well, the problem is, as somebody who's written a lot of reviews in his life,
yeah,
not everyone uses the scale the same way. If everybody went 1 to 10 and agreed upon what a 7 was and what a 9 was and what a 10 was and what it meant
right.
and how you equate that, right. and if there was some fucking scientific way,
yeah.
first of all, there'd only be one review.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
That'd be all there was, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like, if you got a game that comes out and, you know, like, say, Giant Bomb, they have a 5-star, no half score review structure. And there could be games that come out that they think are actually really good that they give a 3 to.
Yeah.
On a, you know, if you were to take, you know, Metacritic's view on what that number is.
Right.
That's not a very favorable number. That's,
right.
What is it, 66?
66.
Yeah, so my, yeah. I think anything with a 70 is considered good.
That's
yeah.
a failing grade in school.
And that's,
mm-hmm.
in their eyes, a good game, albeit with flaws, but a good game.
Right.
You know, a 4 is what, you know, I would say the broad spectrum of their review games get, because Giant Bomb is not a review site.
Right. They typically just do things they like, I think. Is
well, and just, you know, things that are just very popular with their client base.
Right, right.
The reason
right.
that they're very popular with their client base is odds are they're probably going to be pretty good. So I would say the broad spectrum of their games get, like, 4s.
Right.
Which to them is great. But that's an 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, and for most people, a great game is a 90.
Right.
But they don't have a spot on their scale for that.
Yeah.
So those two numbers, like, if you take IGN scale and GameSpot scale, I mean, a Giant Bomb scale, they don't mesh. They don't fit.
Nope.
Yeah.
And, but I'm not a big fan of quantifying reviews anyway, because especially on these huge scales, like from 1 to 100, I'm like, can you really tell me the qualitative difference between an 82 and an 81?
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's
And then,
well, here's the thing. If the game that's an 82...
Yeah.
is tennis, and the game that's an 81 is a shooter, and you don't like tennis games,
mm-hmm.
those numbers don't fucking matter.
Yeah, exactly.
To the consumer, they don't.
Yeah. And then
at least it shouldn't.
Yeah, and then there's the ones that are like, oh, it's a 10.25.
Or even if you take games in the same genre.
Serious?
Look at Uncharted and Gears of War.
Yeah.
They're both third-person shooters.
Yeah.
Same genre.
Yeah.
They do not appeal to the same people.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
None.
Yeah.
The content of the review will tell you
right.
if this is a game for you.
Yeah.
You know, focusing merely on the Metacritic number, it's the reason why I never talk about Metacritic. It's the reason I never go to Metacritic. It's the reason why I still haven't even settled on a fucking review scale for our dumb website. Because I just don't give
Why do we have this website still?
I just don't give that much of a shit about numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
You know, like, I'll put 3 paragraphs on a page. Just read that.
Yeah, right. We don't have to utilize any sort of review.
No, and that I'm just using that as an example.
Sure.
It's just that I just think that I like a review score as a shorthand.
Right.
Because, all right, this game's a 4. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I give it 3 dirty socks out of a laundry basket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What am I supposed to rate this on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at a certain point, I don't know what a review score means to some people. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's always just flame for the fire of, like, Yeah, it's stupid, like, console wars bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, Rise, Son of Rome got a 3 out of 5, but God of War got a 5 out of 5, so PlayStation's the best. No, it means that one game's better than the other. Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I have people that come in the store all the time, and we'll say, like, what console do you have? I bought them all. What do you mean you bought them all? I bought all of them. Like, every console you see in here that you can buy, fucking own that.
Yes. You want to buy it?
That's why I work here.
Yeah, and they're like, well, which one's better? I'm like, dude, first of all, let's not get in this conversation. I'm like, I can solve your problem in 30 seconds. Do you own a system? No. All right, what do your friends have? Well, most of them are buying PlayStation 4s. Buy that.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Do you use those terms exactly?
Well, no, I take their money and then I think,
okay, yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
All
right.
No, I mean, it's all these people are, well, a lot of my friends are into the Xbox, but, like, I'm thinking about getting a PlayStation because it's way more powerful. You don't play a box, you play a game.
Yeah, right.
Who gives a shit,
right?
It's not way
my
more
system
powerful. It's just a little bit more powerful.
Well, it's all been exacerbated by you've got a Galaxy S3 phone. Well, that's bullshit. I got an S4, motherfucker. Like, who fucking cares?
I got an S4 because it was the latest one.
I got the S3 because I needed a phone now, and it was 2 weeks before the S4 came out. And
yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
I don't care. I wasn't a big fan of this huge thing in my pocket.
He got an S4 because he was jealous because I had an S4.
I love this thing. S4 Acton, so he can pour water on it.
He needs a factory reset, but I love it.
Yeah. I mean, mine can be thrown in water. It's okay.
Yeah.
But there was this article on Kotaku was saying about this guy was giving firsthand accounts where he was in a negotiation for funding from a publisher. That was trying to get. I'll give you this budget if you can get a 95 on Metacritic. Now wait a second. He says, wait. There are six games in the last 5 years that average a 95 on Metacritic.
Right.
All of which have three times the budget than what you're offering me.
Yeah.
And their response is, well, I just don't think it should be worth it unless you can get a 95. Which this crap perpetuates and it talks about how it really needs to change.
Yeah,
it's affecting developers are put stuff in late in development or change a game entirely. Like a level based game will become an open world game because they think an open world game is going to get a better score.
Right.
Or they'll add multiplayer at the last minute or something like that to boost the score because senior publisher man said you're gonna give us better funding for it.
Right,
it can negatively impact how a game comes out.
There's nothing good about that. Nothing remotely good about that practice at all. So yeah, no, it's silly.
It's the kind of culture that like. We were at the end of console's lifespan. Games were very deep in franchises. Games were selling, like, sequels were selling less than the ones that had come before it.
Right.
Just because those consoles had gone on for so long. So many people had seen the same shit so much. And even, really anticipated, hotly anticipated games like Bioshock Infinite and Tomb Raider didn't perform like expected.
Right.
I loved both of those games, by the way.
They were both fantastic. But, I mean, you know, look at what happened. I mean, you know, Irrational doesn't exist anymore after making one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if that's not a good sign that the culture of our development for video games is maybe not in the shape that it should be, is that how do you make one of the most critically and fan-appreciated games of all time?
Yeah.
And less than 12 months later have to tell everybody, all right, guys, we're done.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's weird. And the only other thing I would mention in this is that, coming out of the Game Developers Conference, everybody seems super excited about video games. It seems like, you know, for the first time in a very long time, that people are excited to be making video games, people are making deals, it's not going to be every year for the last, 3 years, it feels like gloom and doom, a studio getting shut down every month.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like that's going to be happening. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot of new studios are opening for this generation, so...
Especially indie developers.
It should be exciting. And there's a lot of really fucking talented people out there looking for a job right now, who I'm sure are going to be falling into new employment very soon.
That's cool.
These new consoles are just now getting a grip. I mean, honestly, if you walk into a store, I mean, there's 15 to 20 games out for each of these things, and that's about it. By this fall, you'll be drenched in games. We'll just be like, oh, I got games all over me.
Oh, so much game.
I'm already covered in games.
It's game sticky.
I don't think you'd get any grosser than that, Hoss.
I don't know.
Well, guys, if we can't get any grosser than that, I'll talk to you next time on the Video Destruct Podcast.
More of that in your style face.
He does have that in your style face.
He does.
Come on, just bring it. I don't feel like my ending was good enough. Bring it in.
In your style face.
No, better.
Oh, better? Oh, the game is so sticky, it's all over me.
That's terrible.